Thanks for joining us today on The School Care Matters. In this series, we're unpacking the Indiana Department of Education's 7 social-emotional competencies. I'm Shane Presley from the School Care Team, and I'm joined today by my colleagues Tina Wooldridge and Karen Novinger from the School Care Team. Both Tina and Karen are social-emotional wellness specialists and regional trainers for the Sources of Strength Wellness Program in Northeast Indiana. Welcome. This is the 4th in a series of discussions about the SEL competencies. Before we jump into talking about the 3rd competency, let's review what we talked about the last time.
Sure. We talked about the 2nd SEL competency, which is insight, or the ability to identify one's emotions and understand Albert Ellis's ABC model, which identifies an activating event, our beliefs and the consequences or behaviors that result, a dispute of any unhelpful thoughts, and finally, replacing them with more effective beliefs.
That brings us to the next SEL competency, which is regulation. So what specifically do we mean when we refer to regulation?
Our definition is the ability to measure the intensity of one's emotions and employ strategies to address strong emotions.
So when we are thinking about measuring regulation, what are the skills or indicators that let us know that we or our students exhibit this competency?
People who regulate well can describe the intensity of their experienced emotion using a variety of words, and they've developed a personal wellness plan that can be accessed to manage emotions.
Now, for those who have already developed the ability to regulate, how do we model this for our students?
Yeah, we mentioned previously that modeling often means intentionally explaining what's happening internally. This is such an important part of modeling regulation, since regulating is an internal experience. We always begin with providing vocabulary so everyone, adults and students, can access the necessary language to communicate about emotions.
That's a good idea. So where can we find this kind of vocabulary?
Emotions Wheel offers a practical way to talk about emotions to scale. In other words, if I'm experiencing anger, I can look at this wheel and determine whether my anger is showing up as feeling mad, envious, annoyed, or frustrated. Let's say I decide I'm feeling frustrated. The next layer divides frustration into feeling upset or aggravated. A simple idea for elementary school students is to display a word wall with basic emotion words, maybe even accompanied by emojis or photos of faces that demonstrate that emotion. For older students, a helpful tool for developing our emotional vocabulary is an emotions inventory. This one, for example, provides a thorough list of feelings under each broad emotion. So if I'm feeling peaceful, I can choose any of these words to more specifically describe my experience. Calm, clear-headed, comfortable, centered, content, fulfilled, mellow, quiet, relaxed, relieved, satisfied, serene, still, or tranquil.
Wow, those are some great tools that I would have never come up with many of those words to describe feeling peaceful.
Yeah, when we're able to more specifically describe an emotion and its intensity, then we're in a better position to manage the bigger emotions when they show up.
Right. So what are some of the ideas you have for managing these big emotions?
Well, there are a number of programs and models that provide us with practical ways to do this. Let's start with Sources of Strength. Many of you listening right now are part of a school community that already implements the Sources of Strength program. Mm-hmm. But to be sure everyone is on the same page, Sources of Strength is referred to as a radically upstream, strengths-based wellness program. In middle and high schools, the program involves a group of caring, connected, positive adults from the building and the community who act as adult advisors to a team of diverse, influential students who are peer leaders. Those adults and students together develop and share campaigns throughout the school community that are intended to spread the message of hope, the value of youth-adult connectedness, the power of help-seeking behaviors, and encourage all members of the community to build upon the strengths they have in themselves and their community.
Wow, that's so much. So how does Sources of Strength regulate emotion?
So there's a story we like to tell at Sources of Strength trainings for adults and students when we talk about stress. Scientists finally realized what was happening. There was no wind in their environment. While a strong wind can knock a tree over, some level of wind is necessary to help trees develop a deep root system that will allow those trees to withstand heavy rain, wind, or floods.
Oh, wow.
Trees need some resistance to build the necessary strength to help them stand strong in future storms. Mm-hmm. Stress can have a similar role for people. We can't completely avoid stress altogether. Some stress can actually make us stronger, but we can recognize what happens when stress becomes so overwhelming that it's difficult for us to regulate our emotions and learn to meet that kind of stress with strength too, just like a tree in a storm.
Wow, that's a great story. So how do sources of strength help us and our students to regulate?
Well, Shane, at the heart of sources of strength is the wheel, which contains 8 categories of strength we can turn to when, not if, we encounter stress. In fact, one of the most popular sources of strength campaigns is the What Helps Me campaign, which encourages adults and students to identify strengths in their lives that they have already turned to in the past when they struggle with the big emotions we tend to experience when we face stress.
Now, what are these big emotions you keep referencing?
Mm-hmm. We tend toward one of these 3, anger, anxiety, and sadness when we experience stress. Mm. So, for example, I tend to get anxious when I'm feeling stress, but now I've developed the practice of turning to strength by spending time with my supportive family members, engaging in acts of generosity, practicing gratitude, and leaning into a few healthy activities I enjoy, like reading a book, karaoke, watercolor painting, and spending time outdoors.
Wow, that sounds great. So Sources of Strength sounds like a program that emphasizes strength. Are there additional models for helping adults and students to regulate?
Another idea for managing big emotions is to develop a personal wellness toolbox that includes your strategies for stress reduction, healthy habits, lifestyle changes, and other self-identified wellness areas.
That sounds helpful. How would someone get started developing a wellness toolbox?
Well, it could be as simple as looking at a life balance self-care wheel and identifying strategies from each of the 6 categories: psychological, emotional, spiritual, personal, professional, and physical, that you can attend to in order to engage in meaningful self-care. When you look at this wheel, which area are you thinking may be out of balance for you right now?
Well, I think like most people, physical is the one that jumps out to me.
And when you look at the suggested strategies, which ones appeal to you?
Well, sleep is the one that jumps off the page to me, but also turning off my cell phone. Mm-hmm. Now, these are useful resources. Are there others?
We talked last time about affective communication, which involves us identifying our met and unmet needs. When we're able to articulate those to the people around us, that can be a powerful tool for managing emotions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's helpful to review a list of met and unmet needs to help us identify which of those we may be experiencing. Mm. Shane, take a minute to think about the last time you experienced a big emotion. Okay. Now, take a look at this list of needs we may experience. Are you able to identify which need may not have been met that led to your big emotion?
Yeah, well, as I stated earlier, sleep, just struggling with sleep, and maybe independence, being committed to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Now think about how you could use the sentence frame we shared the last time to ask for what you need. So the sentence frame contains an observation, a feeling, a need, and a request. So we make a statement saying, I notice, where we make a factual observation about what's happening. I feel, and then we name the emotion, because I have a need for, and we express the met or unmet need. Okay. And then finally, would you consider, and we make a request that would help you. Can you see how that might help you to regulate your emotion more effectively?
Yeah, definitely. Now, what about teachers who are looking for a quick tip to help themselves and their students to regulate?
In addition to these models for regulating, there are some simple tools and strategies that work depending on the age of the student. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we're all familiar now with breathing techniques. Mm-hmm. So square breathing is a common and simple example. We can use calming jars. I don't know if you've seen those. Mm-mm. You shake the calming jar, and as the glitter slowly settles on the bottom, we talk a student through how it's like our thoughts are settling. journaling, and it helps us to come to a more grounded place. You can use other tools like hard candy or coloring pages or scented oils and fidget toys to help them to be grounded in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then there are some specific tools for managing anxiety, like circles of control, for example.
Wow, we've talked a lot about strategies and activities to develop regulation.
Yeah, I'd like to share one last powerful tool that we can use for ourselves or with our students. It comes again from Dr. Dan Siegel's book, The Whole Brain Child. Many of us, kids and adults alike, become so focused on our feelings that we can't see past them to the bigger picture.
Right.
But it's important to remind ourselves that feelings are temporary. In fact, Shane, can you guess what is the shelf life of the average emotion?
I'd say about 5 minutes.
Actually, an average emotion comes and goes in 90 seconds.
Wow.
What can happen when we don't view emotions properly is that a state can come to be seen as a trait that defines us or our students.
Yeah. Wow. I could see how that could happen.
Exactly. But when we can help our students recognize and understand what they're experiencing so they gain more control over their internal state, then that's really powerful. One of the best ways to become oriented to what's happening internally is a strategy Dr. Siegel refers to as sifting, in which SIFT is an acronym that reminds us to sift through all of the sensations, images, feelings, and thoughts that are affecting us or our students.
Oh, wow.
By paying attention to physical sensations, we become much more aware of what's going on inside our bodies.
I recognize this as a strategy associated with sensory motor integration, which we talked about a couple episodes ago.
It is. When we learn to recognize heavy shoulders as sadness or stomach butterflies as markers of anxiety, then we can learn to relax our shoulders or take deep breaths to calm ourselves. Simply recognizing different sensations like hunger, tiredness, excitement, and grumpiness can give us a great deal of understanding and ultimately influence over our feelings.
So the S in SIFT is for sensations.
Right. Next, we can teach ourselves and our students to sift for images that are affecting the way we look at and interact with the world. Some images remain from the past, while others show up from videos or movies we've watched, and others might be fabricated from our imagination or even from nightmares. When we become aware of the images that are active in our mind, we can take control of those images and greatly diminish their power over us.
So the I in SIFT is for images.
Yeah. Next in SIFT, we sift for our feelings and the emotions we're experiencing. When we ask students how they feel, we can help them to move from vague emotional descriptions like fine to more precise ones like disappointed, anxious, or jealous. We can use word walls that we've displayed in our classrooms to facilitate this process. Often people don't express the complexity of a particular emotion because they haven't yet learned to think about their feelings in a more sophisticated way.
Right.
We want ourselves and our students to recognize the richness of experienced emotions and to pay attention to those subtle nuances.
So the F in SIFT is for feelings and emotions.
Right. And the last part of sifting is our thoughts, which are different from feelings, sensations, and images in that they represent the more left-brained part of the sifting process. They are what we think about, what we tell ourselves, and how we narrate the story of our own lives. We can learn to pay attention to the thoughts running through our heads and acknowledge that we don't have to believe every one of them.
Right.
We can even argue with the ideas that aren't helpful or healthy.
Right. Now, this reminds me of the ABC model, where the D in the model is that we dispute unhelpful thoughts and beliefs.
Exactly. See, you're beginning to see how each of these competencies and the strategies we use to develop them are connected.
Right.
Through this exercise in awareness, we can direct our attention away from limiting sensations, images, feelings, and thoughts, and toward those that lead to happiness and growth. By learning to sift through the activity of our bodies and minds, we and our students can gain more insight and regulation skills.
Wow, I'm looking forward to trying sifting the next time I'm hit with one of these big emotions.
It's actually really powerful.
How can developing our ability to regulate in the classroom and in our private lives benefit us?
When we become proficient at regulating our big emotions, not only are we able to face life's inevitable stressors with greater strength and confidence, we're also in a better place to connect with those around us.
Well, thank you, Tina and Karen. I look forward to hearing more about connection in the next episode. Thank you for being with us on School Care Matters.